Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the iSports MSU Red Seed Report. I am Tyler Hayward. Red Seed Report is a part of iSportsWeb.com. Be sure to check out that website for the latest in sports news and opinions. You can like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at Red Seed Report. Today on the show, Ryan McCumber is going to join us, iSportsWeb contributor for us here, covering Michigan State. And we are going to, unfortunately, discuss the beatdown by Bama in the AT&T Cotton Bowl. And also, we can finally, and I mean this with the utmost respect to the football team, we can finally focus a little bit on basketball other than, I don't know, for about 3 to 4 minutes every show that we normally do. Ryan, I know you're on the other end with us. Take away the outcome of the game. Try to take away the outcome of the game. How was the trip to Dallas?
Other than the game, I had a good time. I mean, one of my buddies that I went with said that making that trip is like going to Disney World, but the result of the game makes it feel like not meeting Mickey Mouse at Disney World. I thought that was a pretty good analogy.
I don't know what to think of that analogy. let's talk about the game a little bit. I want to get your thoughts on the season. And for me, what it is I saw this headline from the Lansing State Journal, and I think that this best described Michigan State season, a forgettable finish to a memorable season.
Yeah, that's pretty fair. I mean, of course, I said before the season the goal should be to make the playoff. I didn't say anything about, you know, winning a game there, winning the national title. They got to the spot that they wanted. That just wasn't the end result they wanted. I mean, the way that they persevered throughout the season with injuries, beat Michigan and Ohio State on the road, beat Oregon early in the year, beat Iowa in the Big Ten title game. I mean, it didn't end the way that they wanted it to, but at the same time, they took the program to a place that they'd never been before.
Well, to be fair, there's only, about 7 programs that have done this?
Yeah, but at the same time, I mean, when was the last time they came that close to, you know, even competing for a national title? I mean, obviously the Rose Bowl team would have made the playoff, but they didn't have a playoff then, so, I mean, it's kind of a moot point.
Oh, definitely. And, I mean, for me, it's a scenario where the season was absolutely fantastic, and there are fans, probably younger fans, who, I mean, you and me have talked about this. The John L. Smith years were absolutely terrible to live through, but the younger fans who have not been around, they also have what people like you and me have. I'll consider us semi-reasonable. They have a voice on social media,
right?
And they are making it inherently clear, along with a couple other fan bases, a little bit east and south of East Lansing, that the way that it finished, if it would have been 38-35, not a big deal. But the way that it finished, 38-0, it takes away from what happened.
Does it take away a little bit? Yeah. Does it take away what they did throughout the whole entire season, the whole entire thing? Absolutely not. I mean, Michigan State belonged there. You know, you're going to hear I've heard a lot of Ohio State fans say, oh, we should have been there. No, you shouldn't have. You lost to Michigan State's backup quarterback at home, and you had 132 rushing yards. You don't deserve to be there. I'm tired of hearing about how they should extend the playoff because to 8 teams, that just devalues conference championships and conference championship games. I mean, but to your point, yes. It. I mean, does it take away a little bit? Yeah. Most people are going to remember Michigan State by the way that they lost to Alabama, but the fan base should not. The way that they, the way they persevered throughout the season is just, I didn't think that we'd see that. They proved me wrong a couple of times, and they deserve a lot of credit.
No, a banged-up secondary, a makeshift offensive line. You lost one of your leaders on defense early on in Ed Davis. There was a lot of adversity that this team overcame. And so, unlike what you said, where an 18 playoff would diminish the importance of the conference championships, I'm all for an 18 playoff. I am. And
at the same time, it just diminishes. I mean, I'm okay with six. I mean, you bring in a group of five team. You're probably going to have every conference Power Five conference team conference championship make it. Then give the 1 and 2 seed a bye. But I mean, I don't think a team like Ohio State, who blew their opportunity to Michigan State, deserves any consideration to be in a playoff or compete for a national championship.
Oh, and to your point, I do agree with you as far as this season goes. If there were an 18 playoff, I would love to see Ohio State in there. I think it might have helped the public perception of the Big Ten. But what I'm saying is, though I am a proponent of it, I think that Alabama loss diminishes what this Michigan State team accomplished this season. I want you to square up. I want you to get ready to run a 100-meter dash and a 90-meter gym head first. Because
yeah.
You have absolutely no right to take away from what this team accomplished this season.
I totally
this
agree with that.
This team was the Big Ten champions. They were the best team in the Big Ten, week in and week out. Say what you want about closer losses. Purdue, Arjun Calhoun had to make that play. Rutgers, the spike on fourth down that looks like for us, it looks like vintage Detroit Lions football. And you can throw all that stuff aside. When it came crunch time, this team performed. They performed with 10 seconds left against Michigan. They performed with 5 seconds left against Ohio State. They played 60 minutes for the games that decided the Big Ten East. They played 60 minutes for the game that decided the Big Ten championship. This team deserved that playoff bid, and anyone who thinks otherwise can jump in front of a moving bus.
I am 100% in agreement with you, and I don't understand other fan bases who did not make the playoff absolutely just destroying Michigan State. Your team didn't make it. Okay, you won your – both Ohio State and Michigan won their bowl games. Let me ask you this. Would you rather make the Final Four in college basketball or win the NIT? Because being on the outside at this point, I mean, is it really fair? No. But being on the outside of the college football playoff at this point, winning a bowl game is almost equivalent to winning the NIT. It really is.
Right. And this isn't to say Michigan and Ohio State had bad seasons. They had absolutely great seasons.
No, they absolutely did. They
both
had great
of them were 10-win seasons. Both of them played great against great competition. They completely won the Florida's quarterback situation. They've got an amazing defense. Michigan put up 41 on them. That was absolutely impressive. But you cannot sit on the outside of the VIP and tell Johnny Manziel that he's worth less than you.
Yeah, it really is. That's what it is. It's just some of the bashing that I've seen. I would love to see Michigan or even Ohio State. I think, I don't even know if they would have, I mean, would they have given Alabama a better game? Maybe, but I just don't see them beating them. Alabama, I think, is on a whole different level than anybody this year. I just don't see them losing to Clemson at all. They have three guys on their defensive line that are potential first-round picks, and the rest of them just aren't eligible for the draft. That is just an absolute monster of a team. I've never seen, I mean, Nick Saban is just incredible what he does. I mean, hate the guy all you want, but the guy produces. It's just the way it is.
Well, I will still hate him all that I want because let's turn our attention back to what actually matters, and that is Michigan State, not the public perception of the Spartans, but how the Spartans have performed. Where do they go from here? If you look at it, you're losing Darian Harris, who's a leader on defense. You're losing Shalique Calhoun. Jack Allen is gone. Those are your three captains, and if you want to throw a fourth captain in there, go ahead. You're losing Connor Cook. You're losing Aaron Burbridge. You're losing McGarrett Kings. Where does this team, specifically the offense, go from here? Especially if Jack Conklin decides to go.
You know, I think that the offensive line obviously will probably take a step back, but they do have more depth there due to the injuries that they had this year, and they had to play more guys. The linebackers are going to be even better next year. Like you said, they bring back Ed Davis, and they played a lot of guys this year there. Losing Calhoun hurts the secondary, but at the same time,
Copeland returns.
Yep, he's big. He was playing like at least an All Big Ten type player before he got hurt. Then you'll have Hicks on the other side who played pretty well this year.
Nicholson and Cox back at safety.
Nicholson and Cox at the safety spot. I mean, Cox has got to get better, but I mean,
right.
So does Nicholson. Nicholson needs to be more consistent. The defensive line, I mean, they lose a lot there, but the way that they've stockpiled talent there, I don't really see a huge drop off.
I want to go back to something for you. Talking about the defensive line, Shalique Calhoun, when people were questioning whether or not he would be able to fill in for William Golston.
Yeah, but
right?
Keep going.
Demetrius Cooper, he has that same type of potential to fill in for Calhoun. Obviously, he's not going to reach that level, but he's going to be better than Golston was, and Golston was a good enough talent to go early in the NFL draft.
Right. That's a great point. I talked about that with some of my friends on the right back. People were worried about us replacing Golston, like you said, and Shalique came in, and just he was even better than he was.
And then you have Evans and McDowell in the middle.
One thing that's been discussed a lot is maybe Malik McDowell moving outside, but I don't know if they'll move him. I mean, you'll have on the defensive line, I see it this way. You've got Malik McDowell, who's a surefire top 10 pick as long as he stays healthy, and he'll leave early after next year. Cooper on the outside, Evans on the inside at tackle, and maybe Robert Bowers or somebody will take the other end spot. That's a pretty good defensive line.
Here's a question for you.
Yep.
Here's a question for you. There's someone who got suspended indefinitely. No word has been mentioned whether or not he's leaving.
Mm-hmm.
So what if you keep McDowell in the middle? You have Evans in the middle. You have Cooper on one end. What's going on with Montez Sweat?
You know, I think Sweat's a guy. I mean, I think it's pretty obvious he's in the doghouse right now, and who knows if he'll be back. But he's a guy with a ton of talent. I think that he'll be a rotational guy. I don't know if he'll start, but this defensive line is going to be pretty deep. I think Smith's going to play a lot next year too. And you know,
and
you've got the freshman coming in. You've got Ron Williams, who redshirted this year. I could see Josh King or Austin Robertson playing right away too. Who knows? That's just a deep defensive line. I don't see much of a step back from him, in all honesty.
Yeah, that defense is going to be, I'll say, a lot better than last season. The offense, obviously.
Oh, yeah, it'll be at least a top 20 defense in my mind.
Yeah, and we'll talk about that as we go on because we do need to get to basketball. But before we do that, this is something that you and me did after every Michigan State victory. We declared who we thought was the MVP. I don't know exactly what your thoughts are in regards to it. Me, I think we're going to end up with the same answer. But who's your MVP for the entire season this year?
Oh, man. We're doing both offense and defense or just overall?
Overall.
Man, this is tough. I think I'm going to go with Cook. Even though he struggled at the end of the year, he kept them in the Michigan game. He won them the Rutgers game, the Indiana game. He struggled down the stretch, but I think I just don't see a way you can't give him MVP.
Right, and I mean, that's what I'm going with as well. You look at that Iowa game, he's playing hurt. He's playing against the Thorpe Award winner, who, in Desmond King, who did announce that he is going to be returning to Iowa. He carried Michigan State through a lot of those games, threw for 300 yards on one of the best pass defenses one of the best overall defenses in the entire country in U of M. So, I mean, it's got to be Connor Cook, and it's got to be him hands down. I think that he had an issue with Alabama, but it was not on him. The offensive line struggled, especially the right side of that line, which, like I said, Cody Keeler is we'll talk about what the offense needs to do, but Cody Keeler, he's got to get better.
Oh, absolutely.
Moving forward, let's go ahead and turn our attention to basketball. We haven't talked about them much because it is only a half-hour show. You and me, we both have other stuff to do, jobs and whatnot, as opposed to these unpaying gigs here. So what are your thoughts on the Michigan State basketball team so far this season?
Obviously Denzel being out for the last couple games I think it's going to make them better in the long run, but they've struggled without him. They found a way against Oakland and Minnesota. They struggled at Iowa, which that loss is not bad. Iowa's a very good basketball team. They went to Purdue and beat them this past weekend. I think this basketball team is a Final Four team this year. As long as Denzel comes back 100%, this team's a national title contender in my mind. Especially if they get a third guy to step up behind Harris and Forbes and Valentine. I think this team is a national title contender.
Yeah, and I'm right there with you on that. I think I think that this team has outperformed my expectations so far this season.
Yeah, I agree.
And you can say what you want about the Iowa loss. We kind of talked about it before Valentine went down. That was probably the right time. It was the start of the Big Ten season, the Big Ten schedule early on. It wasn't the most difficult in the world. It wasn't like you were facing you weren't going to College Park and playing Maryland and then going to West Lafayette. Unlike in past years, this team won all of their big non-conference games, which is something.
Oh yeah, they did. And you don't see that from an Izzo team very often.
Yeah, in the past couple of years, especially, that wouldn't have happened. This team would be struggling with Valentine, or without Valentine, and they would be dropping off the map as far as public perception goes. That they still make the tournament, but obviously seeding matters in the tournament. You can say what you want. Oh, it's watered down.
Yeah.
64, 68 teams get in, however you want to call it. Seeding matters in the tournament.
Not to disrespect
16 seeds, as eventually there is going to be an upset, but being that number one seed is important. And so for him to go down and for this team to still beat Oakland on what was essentially Oakland's floor at the Palace.
Yeah. And Oakland's good. They're a great basketball team. I mean, that's probably a tournament team right there.
Right, and the point guard, I'm not going to say first team, but he's an All-American caliber player. Again, he said lost to Iowa, got just manhandled that entire game. Not that big of a deal. They went and they beat a healthy Purdue team. So it's not like Iowa is a bunch of scrubs. They won at Minnesota, which has always been a tough place for Michigan State to play, even back when they were Final Four team, late 90s, early 2000s. Minnesota was a tough place to play for this team. So I think what they've done, especially missing Valentine for the Iowa and the Minnesota and the Oakland game, I think it's been absolutely huge. They're going to miss him for Illinois. He's expected back against Penn State. Actually, something broke this morning where they said he's probably not going to play. So I'm just going to go out on a limb and assume that it being the first conference home game, the crowd's going to be hyped. The students are back. That he's going to sit out because Tom Izzo thinks that he can beat Illinois without Valentine.
Yeah, and Illinois, I mean, they've got a good backcourt, but they've struggled. I mean, that's a team that you can absolutely beat, especially when you're playing at home without Denzel Valentine. I mean, this team has to learn, to play without him. I mean, whenever he came off the floor, it was obvious he was not on the floor. In the long run, this is going to help the team more than ever.
Right, and you see Harris starting to step up. He still kind of sticks out like a sore thumb in his system. Doesn't exactly play like everybody else does in it. Not the most sure where to... He's sure where to go, but he tends to improvise a lot more than past players have under Izzo, especially what is essentially a first-year player.
Right, and I expected him to be a big time player right away, but on the defensive end, it looks like he short things up a little bit, but that's where he needed to improve. I mean, the guy can go off for 20, 30 points if he wants to, but he's not going to get on the floor if he doesn't play defense, and Izzo has made that clear throughout.
Speaking of not getting on the floor, let's talk a little bit about Deontay Davis, because I know that has caused a lot of, I'll call it outrage from the fan base that they are not playing this McDonald's All-American, this kid who comes in and within the first 5 minutes has a putback dunk and at least a block or two. What are your thoughts regarding the Deontay Davis situation?
You know what? I questioned Tom Izzo a lot last year when they were struggling. At this point, what in the world am I doing questioning the guy? I'm not going to question him anymore. He made a Final Four with one of his least talented teams last year. Davis has played well.
I'll say it was the least talented team since Drew Neitzel was a senior and had to score 30.
That's the 2000, the one that they lost in the second round, North Carolina. Yeah, I agree with that.
Right.
But I'm not questioning Tom Izzo. Izzo said himself he's got to play both ends of the floor. And, you know, if Izzo, I mean, the guy's a Naismith first ballot Hall of Famer. I'm not questioning the dude. I said it after last season. The only time I am questioning Tom Izzo is if he does not foul when he's up 3 points with 10 seconds left in a game. Other than that, no, I'm not questioning the guy.
And I'm right there with you. I mean, he said that Deontay Davis needs to play defense, and we kind of talked about it before the show. Defense is not just shot blocking. Okay, defense is what Gavin Schilling does when he's not fouling. Defense is what Matt Costello does. And so there's more to it than just what gets you on SportsCenter's top 10. And ultimately, if your time is, though, you're kind of between a rock and a hard place anyways, when you're sitting there. And Matt Costello, I don't care what anybody says. People are like, oh, Davis should start over Costello. Did you see what he's capable of? He's not going to get you that every time, but he puts himself in position to be that successful every time. And that's the thing, is Davis is not putting himself in that position. And you can't bench a guy who was a starter last year on the Final Four team and turn him in. I mean, he did bench him for he did bench Gavin Schilling for Costello, but you can't move him down to third string. Ultimately, I would like to see Davis play a little bit more at the four because I feel like they haven't gotten the production with Javon Best and Marvin Clark. But at the same time, I mean, eventually you learn. I learned it before last year. Unlike you, I learned it a little bit before last year. You don't question the guy with 7 Final Fours in 20 seasons. And if you are questioning him, that bus that I told people to jump in front of earlier, join them.
Yep, exactly. I mean, during the game, yeah, I was questioning it a little bit, but then after the game, I came to my senses. I'm like, you know what? This guy knows what he's doing. Why in the world? What in the world am I doing questioning a guy who's been to 7 Final Fours in 20 years? I mean, I have absolutely no room to question him at all.
Yeah, and he is. You said he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. Well, we're about to find that out because he is nominated this year for the first time for the Naismith Hall of Fame. And, so,
and it's about time. I mean, the guy, there's no question he's a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Well, I think time-wise, this is the first year he was actually eligible for it.
Okay, yeah. But my point still stands. I mean, the guy is a first ballot Hall of Famer. The fact that he is
nominated in his first year of eligibility says a lot.
Okay, all right. I did not know that, so... it's an absolute outrage if he wasn't on the ballot the first time he was eligible. But, yeah, this guy is just an absolute first ballot Hall of Famer. The way that he has – I mean, Judd Heathcote did a really great job at Michigan State, but the way that Tom Izzo has taken this program to absolutely a different level, not missing the tournament. I don't know how many years it is now, but it's an amazing number.
The first two seasons?
Yep, and his, I mean, he had a Final Four streak for one Final Four in every 4 years that was broken last year, 2 years ago, and, I mean, you just don't see that consistency unless you're a Duke or maybe North Carolina, Kansas, UCLA maybe. You just don't see that anymore.
UCLA, you don't see that when John Wooden was putting some money under the table.
But, you know,
not so much anymore,
you don't see that
consistency. Yeah,
and the guy does
nonsense.
It the right way. That's the thing that's most impressive to me. You see schools with scandals all over. Izzo does things the right way. And thankfully, that's finally paying off for him on the recruiting trail in this next incoming class. But Tom Izzo, he's one of the best coaches in college basketball history. That's all. The best way to describe it.
All right, man. We've got just less than a minute left. Really quick. Like I said, it was a memorable season for the football team. Best memory.
Hey, oh man, this is tough. I went to both the Michigan and Ohio State games, but. I in all honesty, the Geiger play, that's my favorite memory this year. Seeing him running towards my side of the field, doing the windmill, oh, man, that was incredible.
For me, I'm going with the reach from LJ Scott. I mean, I know they don't get there without that Geiger field goal, but I think it epitomized what Michigan State needed to do. They needed to reach higher, and that is literally what LJ Scott did on the play. If he doesn't reach higher, he fumbles that ball on the goal line with the incoming Iowa defender. And so that's the one that does it for me. That was the play that got him into the college football playoff. We'll see if they can reach farther next year. We'll keep you up to date with draft stock news, what's going on with Jack Conklin, whether or not he decides to declare early as time goes on. But right now it's basketball season. Enjoy. There's worse ways to fall than on the shoulders of this great basketball team. Ryan, thanks for coming on. Did today. That does it for us. For Ryan McCumber, I'm Tyler Hayward. You have been listening to the iSports MSU Red Theater Report.